So Lindzen's response is, many of the world's leaders appear to believe that emissions of carbon dioxide constitute an existential threat whose impact is already severe and will become impossible to deal with within a very few years. This has resulted in a number of international agreements, beginning with the Rio Pact of 1992 and continuing. And by the way, do you know what they agreed to do in 1992? Any of you? Well, yes, basically, they pledged by 25 years. So 2017, by 2017, the planet was going to be carbon neutral. Carbon neutral. That was in the 1992 Rio summit. What happened?
You pledged to be carbon neutral. You pledged to give the young people our lives back in a future when the global warming did not rise to sea levels and drown me over my little pigtails. And instead you lied and you dove around in your fancy cars and you ate your steaks and flew in your private jets. How dare you?
Instead of that, there you go. In the chat room at crusadechannel.com/chat. The Earth Summit was the largest gathering of world's leaders as of 1992, with 117 heads of state and representatives of 178 nations in attendance by means of treaties and other documents signed at conference. Most of the world's nations nominally committed to pursuit of economic development in ways that would protect the Earth's environment, the non-renewable resources. Can you tell me what a non-renewable resource is? Now, this is one of the reasons why you need to take Philosophia Perennis and educate yourself. What is a non-renewable resource? Well, if you know anything about prime matter, is Josh Will still in the chat room? He was earlier. No, he had to jet off. Josh would answer this. Prime matter. Matter is never destroyed. It may change its form. I'll give you an example. Water. Liquid water, splish, splash, I was taking a bath. Heated up to boiling point will be converted to what? Steam. It's changed its form. The substance is still there. So the H2O is still there. It's just in a gaseous form now. It hasn't been destroyed. It is totally renewable because ultimately it will what? It will condense back and then it will form rain and or whatever, and then it will turn back into water droplets. Yes, I know. That's not, I know.
But TKD, what happens if you had the fire and the wood is burned? That's non-renewable. How is burning the fossil fuel renewable?
Well, again, the fossil fuel is consumed, and the substance of it remains because there's exhaust by their own admission. But the form has changed. So the idea here that we're just destroying stuff and we're going to run out of things is ridiculous. God did not create a world and a biosphere that is that has a date certain set for when things expire. Now, we do have phenomena like the magnetic field, for example, around the Earth that is going to end. And you can project that out. Less than 2,000 years, it gone. This we do know. In any event, Lindzen says, in surveying the underlying science, it becomes clear that the role played by China in this story is indicative of a more general cynicism inherent in many of the world's supposed solutions to climate change from a minimum, again, this is Dr. Richard Lindzen of MIT, from a minimum in temperature around 1960 until 1998, the global mean temperature anomaly did increase by about a half a degree Celsius. That's a small change compared to the typical change between breakfast and lunch. Can you imagine your nature Nazi, your bar-humping weirdo out there? You get to Thunberg. Your Justin Trudeau soy boy Trudeau out there going like, oh no, it's 9 a.m. The sun is coming up and the sky's going to get warm. Yeah, dude, it's called midday. I don't want it to be midday. The world's going to be destroyed if it gets hot today. We need to stop it. Oh, we're melting. What a world. I mean, Lindzen is mocking these people, going like, do you, like, lay awake in your bed dreading noon? If you are, climate change is coming to kill us all. Yeah, and the climate's going to change this afternoon. Where do you see it? It should be noted that the increase was small compared to what was happening in any given region and temperature at any given location. We're almost as likely to be cooling as warming. And you get some more of the stats. What I find interesting about this is one sees frequent references to the agreement of 97% of the world's scientists. However, as pointed out by Joseph Bast and Roy Spencer and myself, this claim is specious. One also sees references to increases in things like, you notice that if you're wondering, how are they going to get away with lying about the vaccine mandate, about what the vaccines, the Franken jabs are actually doing? Same way they've been getting away with lying about the climate for 35, 40 years. Facts don't matter. Now, the difference is when you're lying about the climate, you're not creating corpses. People aren't dying of the jib. If you want to go to the COP26 and you want to see Greta Thunberg, get the jib. Yes, we're going to be all about getting the jib. If you want to read about the Southern agrarians and the agrarian way of life, I'll take my stand and get the jib. According to the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, if we continue along the present path using the current models that seem to overstate warming, there would be in 2100, that's 79 years from now, a reduction of global gross domestic product of less than 4%. It is hard to call this an existential threat. How dare you? Let us ignore the above problems for a moment and ask why emissions that presumably have led to the observed increase in CO2 have continued to increase. Then he gives some reasons why, and it's mainly China. China burning coal is the main reason. In a recent announcement sent to students at MIT, the Youth Dialogues Committee, he's talking about another committee that's commenting on this, with rapid growth of the global population and the continuous expansion of the world economy, carbon dioxide emissions in the atmosphere have surged. Extreme disasters induced by global warming keep popping up. The world is undergoing irreversible climate change. It is in everyone's stake to protect the planet. Now, if man is driving this increase, well, then how are you going to mitigate it? Mitigate. How are you going to mitigate it? Start killing people. I don't care what they say in front of microphones, and some of them may actually telegraph this. Start killing people. Make Bill Gates' wet dreams come true and have an extermination event. That's what you do. That's what will solve the non-problem problem. But they can't come right out and say, our solution to the problem is get the jib. And afterwards, we're going to kill you. We resurrected Steve Irwin from the grave, and he's going to kill you as a crocodile hunter. By the way, Steve Irwin, in his dead carcass, got the jib. The children continues, We must confront the problems brought to Mother Nature. And I love how they try to, now, while saying we need to kill off humanity, they want to protect some, this creature called Mother Nature. I mean, this is almost laughable. That is, we must protect like Mother Nature, man. If she's mother, then it kind of implies that there were children. What are children the result of? Well, flourishing. As everyone stakes to protect, we must confront the problems brought to Mother Nature by climate change and seek solutions in cooperation, sharing responsibility as two major countries, and collectively building a community with a shared future for mankind. I'll give you a shared future for mankind. It's called Christianity. Hey, why don't we try that one out? This is a great idea for a shared humanity. Christianity. Oh, that won't work. As Chesterton said, it has not been found wanting. It has not been tried and found wanting. It's been left untried because it's difficult. The letter went on to offer modest cash rewards for those making the most compelling arguments. At the same time, the Chinese under the World Bank have been happy to fund coal-burning projects in developing countries. So China is behind this. Now, what if the Chi-Coms actually believe that they're helping to kill the planet? Goes right along with... Now, they're not. But maybe they think that they are. The second question is more worrisome because of the patent illogic of proposals claiming to address climate change. Again, I'm reading from Richard Lindzen of MIT. The climatologist, among other PhDs that he has. Confronted with natural disasters, it is obvious that richer societies are more resilient than poorer societies. For example, earthquakes in Haiti can result in thousands of deaths. Similar earthquakes in California result in an order of magnitude and fewer deaths. Thus, it would seem that confronted with what is claimed is an existential threat over which we, in fact, have almost no influence, it seems obvious that the correct policy would be to increase resilience against disasters. Instead, the West is proposing to do the very opposite. The encouragement of such policies by China is undoubtedly one of the reasons certainly many of the proposed Western responses will involve heavy investments in China. So, in other words, this is all to prop up and to promote communism. Gee, who knew? I did.